Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
It's the beginning. Amen. It's an awesome book. Like I've made reference a couple of times already, I was reading back through it this morning. And I try to, if I'm going to preach out of a book, I try to familiarize myself with it, not just study the chapter and the verse that I'm going to preach, but I try to go back through it and kindly familiarize myself with it. And boy, I was reading through it again this morning early, and what would it have been like to be there when there was nothing and watch it all come? You might not even can comprehend what I'm trying to say, because I really can't even comprehend it myself. But when there was nothing, what if you was something and could have saw it all evolve? Or just, he spoke it. And you know, we say this a lot of times, that God stepped out on nothing and made everything. But when I read the first two chapters, I don't see him stepping out. He's just sitting on his throne and he's speaking. And it is. It says, let there be light, and there was light. And let there be a sun, and there was a sun. And let there be a moon, and there was a moon. And then one of the things I just saw so interesting this morning was where the Bible said this, and he made the stars also. I just throwed some stars out there. You know, and when you think about, when you go study how many stars that there is today, it's really unknown, actually, how many there. And he says, I made the sun and the moon, and I thought, well, you know what? I think I'll put something else out there. So I just throwed some stars out there. And whenever you look at the way he created everything and how it all come to be, it's just amazing. Then he does get up off his throne, I think, when he makes man, because everything else he made from a distance, but man, he formed him out of the dust of the ground. He formed him out of the mud of the ground, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And you've heard me say this many times, everything else he creates from a distance, but man, he created real close to breathe into his nostrils. He had to be very close to him to breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And, of course, man became a living soul. And then a little bit of time goes by. I don't know how much. Leslie and I was talking about this today. Throughout the day, I don't know how long went by from the time Adam is created to the time Eve is created. It's not on the same day, because the seventh day came, he rested. And then she is created after that in chapter number 2. So there's a little bit of time goes by there. I'm not sure how much it is. Then he creates Eve, because Adam needed a helpmeet. He needed somebody to help him along the way. And, of course, Eve comes along, and he says in verse 23 of chapter 2, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And one preacher said that the reason she was called woman is because when Adam seen her, he said, whoa, man. And then she become woman. But anyway, the woman comes along, and chapter 3 rolls around. And we see the first mention of Satan in chapter number 3. Now, I'm not going to take time to deal with everything that I was going to deal with tonight. I'll come back to it, because I really want to look at several things about it. But I want you to note, just this was my closing tonight. I've got a bunch of things before this. But we could talk about Satan, and I'm going to talk about the conquest of Satan, the course of sin, the consequences of sinning, but I'll go back to that. Here's what I want you to look at tonight for just a minute in closing. There is three curses that's given in Genesis chapter number 3. Three different curses that's given. And in Genesis chapter number 3, sin enters into the world for the first time. And, you know, a lot of times we want to blame that on the woman. You've heard people say that. And Kevin just punched Nicole. And when they get home, I'd say he'll get punched back. But we want to blame that on the woman. But if you go to Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12, the Bible didn't say, wherefore it's by one woman sin entered into the world. It said, wherefore it's by one man sin entered into the world. Matter of fact, whenever you, let me find it right here. I think I can find it real quick. I thought I could. I thought I marked it this morning as I went through it. Here it is in verse 16 of chapter number 2 of Genesis. The Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. But in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And then God creates Eve. We see that. Chapter 3 rolls around. And who does Satan go to? Satan goes to the weaker vessel of the home. That is not saying that the woman is any less of an individual than a man is. The Bible just said that she is the weaker vessel of the home. And that's who Satan attacked first. He went to the weaker vessel in the home, and he attacked Eve. Now watch this. I find this interesting. You've heard me say this before, but I'm headed somewhere. I find it interesting that nowhere do we find that God told Eve not to take of that tree. He told Adam, and it was Adam's responsibility to teach his family what was right and what was wrong. Can I get an amen right there? It wasn't the woman's priority to do that. It was the man's place to tell Eve, hey, here's what God said for our home. Here's the way God wants our home to go. Then it was up to Eve to follow the godly leadership of her husband. Did somebody say amen and help me now? We're headed somewhere. We'll get there quicker if you'll help me. But she goes against that, and Satan attacks her with three things. And we'll look at all of this. He attacks her with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He attacks Adam with the same thing. Adam sins also. The Bible said, wherefore it's by one man sin entered into the world. Why? Because man is responsible for his home. Ultimately, he will stand before God for the way he leads his home, for the way he guides his home. You know, a lot of times, and I'm going to give you these three curses right here and go home, but a lot of times we want to say, you know, the man ought to do this, and the man should do this, and the man should do this, and I agree with every bit of that. But I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, he ought to be the most godly person. The wife should never be more godly than her husband. The wife should never use an altar more than her husband. That husband, it's his responsibility to be the godly leader in the home. That's the way God set it all up. They end up sinning. You know the story of chapter number 3. And there's three curses that's given. Watch this, chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. What had he done? He beguiled Eve. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Until that moment, don't nobody fall out right here. Until that moment, evidently the serpent wasn't on the ground. I don't know if he was walking. I don't know if he had legs. I don't know if God chopped them off. I don't know. But I know this. That's when he got cursed to the ground. And it's interesting because he's referred to previously and in the curse, he's referred to in the same context as the cattle of the field. And he's cursed to the ground. So we see the first curse right there. Now watch this. Chapter 3. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. He shall rule over thee. So he curses Satan. Then he curses the woman in verse 16. Now, watch this, verse 17. And this is the third curse. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So that's the third curse. Number one, he curses Satan. Number two, he curses the woman. Number three, he curses man. And we know that we even see it right there in verse 19, to the dust he's going to return. That's the curse of death. Why? Because sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want you to note something, and I'm going to throw a little bit of seed thought out. Somebody take it, build an outline on it, and preach it, and I'll shout for you. If you'll notice in chapter 3, verse 14, chapter 3, verse 4, he curses the serpent. I just showed you that. But he doesn't curse the woman to verse 16 and the man to verse 17 through 19. If you'll notice, though, there is a verse between 14 and 16. Now, where I went to school at, it was 14, 15, 16, unless you was counting even numbers. Now, I don't even know if they teach even and odd numbers now. But anyway, there's a verse before that. The serpent's cursed. But before the curse ever comes upon man, and before the curse ever comes upon the woman, there is a cure that is given in verse 15. Watch this. And I will put enmity between thy seed, or I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. The Bible goes on to say, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, without going into a 2-hour discourse on this verse, simply saying, this is what that verse is saying. On Calvary, the heel of Christ will bruise the head of the serpent. The heel of Christ will bruise the head of the serpent. Watch this. Before the curse ever came on mankind, you know what he does? He shows grace and gives a cure. He says, before I ever curse you, I just want you to know that before the foundations of the world was ever laid, and before I've created you, I knew what you was going to do. I knew that you was going to mess up. I knew you was going to make a big mess out of all this, because I give you a will. I give you a will to do as you please. It's up to you. I'm going to tell you what's right. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. But at the end of the day, you're going to have a free choice on what you're going to do. And I knew you was going to choose the wrong thing. You was going to fall to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because according to 1 John, that's where every sin comes from. But I tell you what I'm going to do. Before I curse you, before I bring the curse upon you, I'm going to let you know that there's coming a day that a man named Jesus Christ is going to be born by the way of a virgin. He's going to live 33 and a half years. He's never going to sin the first time. He's never going to mess up the first time. He's going to be falsely accused, but he's going to still go to Calvary. He's going to take a cat of nine tails, a beating of that. He's going to take a crown of thorns. He's going to have his robe ripped from him. He's going to walk yonder to Calvary's hill. He's going to lay his life down willingly on an old rugged cross. And he's going to give up the ghost, and he's going to die. And his heel will bruise your head, and the blood of Calvary will heal the curse that I'm putting on you. Yes, they may be a curse, for the wages of sin is death. But thank God for a cure tonight. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to talk about a picture of grace tonight. You want to talk about a picture of long suffering tonight. You want to talk about a God that cares about us. You know what God could have done right there? He could have thumped Adam and Eve off the earth and said, you know what? I'm going to wipe it all clean and I'm just going to go back to the way things was. But he created you in his image because he wanted somebody to fellowship with. And even though we mess up, thank God, there has been a cure that's been applied. And I can 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, thank God, and he is just, thank God, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Brother Josh, each day I can directly, amen, I can directly access the throne room of God. Even though I mess up on a daily basis, there is a cure that's been applied. Yes, there was 3 curses, but before the last 2, God said, I'm going to give you a cure before I ever curse you. Man, you ought to get a hold of that. Before the curse ever comes, before I even tell you what it is, I just want you to know I love you, Adam. I just want you to know you're still my friend. I just want you to know that I'm still going to walk with you in the cool of the day. Yes, there is a consequence. There is a consequence for messing up. But thank God we don't have to be a casualty because of the mess up. There's a cure for the mess up that we have. Thank God it's in Jesus tonight. Miss Tanya, come start playing. Father, we love you. As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, Father, what a blessing it is to hear the testimony of your children. God, thank you, Lord, for our church and what you're doing in it. God, as we knelt down to pray, God, you just really impressed on my heart to ask for testimonies tonight. God, I sure do love hearing your people brag on you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. There's a few in the altar. You know what? You may just want to find your place in an altar tonight and say, God, I just want to thank you for the cure. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, that you didn't let me die and go to hell. Thank you, God, that you give me another chance. You know what? Man, he didn't have to give Adam and Eve a second chance, but I sure am glad that he did. And I sure am glad that he gave old John a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. And a fifth chance. Thank God for a long-suffering Savior tonight.